Hi, welcome to Moves That Matter. I am your host, Dr. Clive Posley, and we are excited as usual to have you here on this Tuesday night at the 7:30 hour. It is a blessing to have you here, and as you know, there is one currency required for your viewership today, and that is that you hit share. All we ask you to do, we're not asking you for money, we're not asking you to make a donation other than of your time and your willingness to hit the share button as you listen. You can also catch this show not only on Facebook, you can catch it on iTunes, you can catch my episodes on the YouTube channel. You can also catch it on my website, drclivepoesley.com. So tune in, get your popcorn, be ready to engage. We want you to hit share, and please feel free to comment as you're paying, as you're watching the show and paying attention to the show. We have a fantastic guest here today, a couple that the Lord, whose lives have been transformed through their relationship with God. Also, I want to remind you about a couple of things that are happening that are very important in my ministry. One of them is a suit drive. We have a Kingdom Men's Ministry that's being led at our church by some great brothers. And what we're doing is asking men to donate suits and apparel, shirts, new undergarments, socks, and even some shoes for the brothers that we encounter. Don't worry about getting those suits cleaned or shirts and things cleaned. If you bring undergarments, please bring new undergarments. And we are getting those suits, shirts, and those things cleaned. We have a relationship with the cleaners that's going to clean them. So when we encounter a man, we will be able to give that man a new suit, a shirt, and for a job interview, we're going to help him get or dress apparel to come to church. But either way, we're going to make sure that we give something to the men we encounter along with giving them Jesus Christ. And so we are excited about that. Another thing is I want to remind everyone that this coming Sunday morning is our Friends and Family Day, and we're doing a lot this Sunday morning as we worship Jesus Christ. The men are going to be bringing those suits at 10:30, but also it's our Breast Cancer Awareness Day. We have a director of the Pink Forever Cancering Service Organization as our member at our church, Miss Nadia Miller. Her and her family started Pink Forever several years ago, and it's a powerful servicing organization. All the women Sunday morning are coming and they're wearing pink, and we're going to celebrate the survivors and also empower and encourage those women who are winning against breast cancer even as we speak. That's this coming Sunday morning at the Antioch Baptist Church, which is located at 704 East 32nd Street here in the heart of Indianapolis off of 32nd and College Avenue. We're looking forward to seeing you there. And then lastly, before we get into this powerful segment on restoration and redemption, I want to remind everyone about my book, More Than Icons and Images, Uncovering the Hidden Protest Narrative of the Black American Athlete in the 21st Century. Just today, I was reading a tweet where LeBron James was trying to bring some clarification to some comments about the China protest made by the general manager of the Houston Rockets basketball team. And athletes should chime in about political issues because sports and politics intersect frequently in the American social landscape. So, God bless you. You can get that book on Amazon.com. You can order my book off through my website, drclivepoesley.com. I want you to stay tuned. We have a fantastic guest, and her husband is here with her. You do not want to miss this. If you have a young woman that you know of who is facing difficulty, she's going to show you the power of God to transform that situation into a winning one for God's kingdom. I'll see you in a second. You don't want to miss this. Just before I get into the segment I spoke with you about relative to the guest and her husband, I want to talk to you just briefly with my men's ministry leader here, Brother Eric Simmons. Glad to have you, man.
Glad to be here, sir. Thank you so much.
Listen, Mr. Simmons and I are formulating what we know is going to be a game changer. We are developing a men's ministry by the word of God called Kingdom Men's Street Ministry. And what we're going to do is be dynamic in our approach to men's ministry. I spoke to you in my intro to the show today about us having a men's suit and apparel drive. We're asking men to donate suits that they do not wear, but suits that they would wear to men, and shirts and new undergarments, socks, and even shoes if they have them. Because when we encounter men, we do men's ministry in the street or at the church, or when we do ministries wherever we go, we want to give something to the men. We want to give them something for their job interviews that they're going to get in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
We're going to bring something to them to have clothes to wear to church, or we want to just help a man's self-esteem, because every man feels better when he looks good.
Yes, sir.
And so, Mr. Simmons,
yes, sir.
You are the director of this Kingdom Men's Ministry. Talk a little bit about what you want to accomplish, what you and I intend to accomplish with the brothers we work with.
Well, again, thank you for having me this morning.
My pleasure, man.
Hey, listen, Kingdom Men is a radical new approach to getting out, all boots on deck, loving these young brothers, hitting the streets, because as Pastor and I have talked before, all folks ain't entering the church house.
That's right.
So we've
For various reasons.
Right. So we've decided to go out on the street and form this ministry. We want to save these young brothers' souls, and then maybe we can bring them to the Lord.
Absolutely.
That's the plan. We've gotten tons of interest. We're doing things that we don't think have been done here in Indianapolis before. So we're all on board, and we need help from the public to support what we're doing here.
Absolutely. This Sunday morning at the Antioch Church at 704 East 32nd Street, right on the corner of 32nd and College, there will be men coming to our morning worship. It's actually our friends and family morning, so we're inviting men and people to come anyway. It's also, by the way, our Breast Cancer Awareness Sunday. It's our Pink Forever Sunday. And all of the women who will be coming to our morning worship this coming Sunday morning will be wearing pink, celebrating survivors of cancer, and also celebrating the lives of many women who have gone on to be with the Lord, as well as many who are winning the fight against breast cancer. But so the three things going on. There's our Friends and Family Day. We're inviting people to come and men to bring their suits. And then there's also our Breast Cancer Awareness Celebration. And we're going to have dinner afterwards, too. We're having a free dinner just serving people because we love the idea of fellowship. Listen, life is about relationships. We are trying to develop strong relationships in our church, relationship with men, relationship with those cancer, breast cancer survivors, and relationship with people in general, because Jesus has designed us to be attached to each other and support each other in all that we do.
Amen.
We are not afraid, Mr. Simmons and I, to say that we love men, but we're done just talking about it.
Yes, sir.
What we want you to see when you see us on Moves That Matters and in our Kingdom Men's Ministry is there are some brothers right there who are done just talking about it. We're doing something about it. God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Simmons. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
We'll be right back with our next segment, where we're going to see another strong brother and his wife, who have been redeemed from the grips of drugs to become people who are fishers of men. God bless you. I'll see you in just a moment. All right, we're back. As I told you, we have a fantastic guest with us today. I'm looking forward to some women being blessed from her ministry and our conversation today. I have with me today Roslyn Huggins Douglas, and we're looking forward to talking with her. I'm going to welcome her to the camera today, to our studio. God bless you. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
And I think you brought a guest with you today. Tell us who you brought with you.
I brought my husband, my rock, the head of our home, Tim Douglas.
All right, glad to have you. Glad to have you, Brother Douglas.
Glad to be here.
Listen, I want to start off by talking about how God caused me to meet Roz. I'm going to call her Roz if you guys don't mind. I was at the barbershop. I was at Dale's Barbershop at 38th and College. And just at my normal time, my normal appointment. And I believe, Roz, you and your sister?
Yes.
You and your sister came in. And I was just kind of sitting there, and I believe Roz was talking about her book with the owner of the shop, Dale Sharp, and I kind of butted in.
You did.
I kind of butted in. As an author myself, any African American person who has fought through the struggles to write a book mm-hmm. is impressive to me. But then as I began to ask questions and hear Roz's story, I discovered that I was hearing something that wasn't run of the mill. Her book is entitled "Navigating Through My Storm: 16 Years to Life." And she's going to get into that story, but I want you to know that we met, and it just so impressed me, her spirit and her bold confidence that the Lord had caused this to come to pass was irresistible, and I had to have her on the show because I wanted to not only help the world see what God was doing with her, but I wanted the world to know what God can do with some sister if she's honest and open enough, no matter what she's facing. Here's an example. If something's not true, there shouldn't be any evidence. Here is an example of what God can do to a submitted sister. So, Roz.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us what led to navigating through the storms.
There were many situations and reasons that led me mm-hmm. to write this book. Mm-hmm. I'm the baby of five.
Okay.
I grew up in a two-parent home. Mm-hmm. And where my father worked and my mom was a housewife. Popular in high school. Mm-hmm. After graduating from high school, I went directly to the Groups program at IU.
IU in Bloomington?
Yes.
Okay.
In Bloomington. B average student and got homesick and ended up coming back home and where I enrolled at IUPUI.
Okay.
Didn't do so well. Wanted to hang out more with my friends and drink and smoke weed. Before I did my books. Mm-hmm. So I flunked out of school. From there, I went to Ivy Tech. Was still not ready to settle down and go to school, but I did manage to get a phlebotomy certificate mm-hmm. before I left school on academic probation, I might add. Upon that, I got into a relationship with a guy where he was selling drugs.
Okay.
He.
How old were you at this time?
I was 20 years old.
By this time, okay.
19, 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And that relationship didn't work, but I did develop a sense of hustle.
Okay.
So I began to hustle weed. And I remember, as if it was yesterday, that I had bought some weed and I was bagging it up.
Okay.
I had rolled the joint, and I threw it to a guy, and he asked me what it was, and I told him it was a joint. Smoke it. And he said, I don't smoke regular weed. That being said, he meant that he didn't smoke regular weed. He smoked it with cocaine, laced with cocaine.
Okay. Okay.
Hence, I was introduced to the life of smoking moles. Mm. I got strung out early on. I was still, though, able to maintain my dressing ability and to keep a job, only for a while.
That's ministering to somebody right there, the person that thinks that they're not on the wrong track because they think they can, quote, handle what they're doing. That's a trap.
I thought I could handle it, but looking back, I was gone, and it had control over me from my first pull of the joint.
Mm. Say that again, Roz. Look in the camera and say that again. Somebody needs to hear that.
When did it grab you? It grabbed me from the very first pull of the joint.
As soon as you got started.
As soon as I got started.
Powerful.
But
wow.
I thought in my mind that I'm okay, even though I was getting high every day. even though I began to start missing work. Mm. Even though I began to start selling my body. For the drug, I still thought I had it together. Mm-hmm. But that's where the enemy comes in.
That is.
Because
that is.
The enemy will lie to you and tell you that you're okay,
right.
When really you're not. And so I kept up this facade or lying to myself, if mm-hmm. you will, for a while. I had my child, my first child. He was cocaine positive.
Mm-hmm.
I then had my second child. She was cocaine positive as well. by then, I had graduated to hitting the pipe. But I want to let you know that I was already once again strung out and addicted and selling my body and stealing and robbing and doing all of that when I was just on smoking Primos.
And all this is from that initial cocaine-laced joint.
It wasn't just the joint, it was laced. And so let me backtrack then. If you want to go, I was smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about weed, marijuana being a gateway to all drugs.
Right.
In my case, it was. That was the start. Me smoking weed was the start of my downfall, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I now have 3 kids, all cocaine positive. My youngest child was taken at birth because back then they began.
And how old were you at that time?
I had my first son at 26, my daughter at 27, and then my youngest at 30. So my youngest was taken at birth, and the courts, it would be remiss of me not to say the courts did everything they could or tried to do to get me reunited back with my children.
Mm-hmm.
You hear these stories about
sounds like the favor of God was on you even when you wasn't walking in it. That's
the
a blessing.
The favor of God had been on me in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the courts tried to get me back with my kids, but the actuality is I chose crack over my kids. I'm gonna be brutally honest.
You're helping somebody. That's the truth makes people free. The Bible says, knowing the truth can make you free, and that's why you're here today, to free somebody else.
I'm not proud of the things that I did. Mm-hmm. I've done. I'm not proud at all, but I own it. I take full responsibility for everything that has happened to me because I grew up, like I said, with both my parents, and they taught me right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Life is full of choices.
And you talk about that in the book.
I do.
You talk about that in the book, how that you were raised in a family where the gospel was how you lived.
Yes.
Absolutely. You participated. You were a young usher.
I didn't have
choir.
A choice.
Yeah.
We give.
I didn't either.
Yeah, we give our kids choices.
Yeah, I didn't either. My family wasn't perfect, but he was going to go to church.
If you was too sick to go to church, I couldn't go nowhere that whole entire day.
You say that in the book.
If I wanted to go out on Saturday, my clothes had to be ironed and laid out. Mm-hmm. My mother didn't play ironing on Sunday or any of that. So, yes, I had a foundation of where we went to church, and there was no, that was it.
Let me ask you this. So, I'm going to ask you 2 questions.
Okay.
Very quickly. One is, so, in the life of a child raised in God's house, from your experience, what door was open that gave Satan access? I have 4 children, and I'm a pastor. So I always want my viewers to know from someone's experience, if possible, what things should they watch for? What thing, if you could say? Did you open the door to Satan? And many of us have done it. We're just talking to you today.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. I believe that you better watch your circle of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Watch who you hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I knew right from wrong. It was by my choice that I made all the choices that I chose.
Mm-hmm.
But when they offered me to smoke my first joint, I had the power to say no.
That's powerful. That's the truth. The power was always in your hand.
In me.
That's right. That's right.
I chose to say yes. And eventually, I chose to say yes to Satan.
It's always our choices. Yes. It's easy to blame somebody. You know, if I hadn't been raised like this, even with that circle of influence, the choice was still ours. So here's my second question coming from that. So what turned? What happened? What changed? How did the process of getting out of that take place?
What changed? What happened? What did not happen? I've been raped and beaten. I've been arrested for dealing, a Class A dealing in possession, I might add. I was facing, 15 to 25 or 15 to 50 years when I was arrested. And the day toward the end of me getting high, my mother's oldest brother was a bishop. My mother's youngest brother is now a reverend.
Okay.
And toward the end, I would sit down, Indian style, with the crack pipe to my mouth, and I would listen to my Uncle Jerry's sermons.
Wow. In your addiction, hearing the word of God started the process, bringing you back to who you really
are. Who I really am. And
that is powerful. Let me just, because I have this thing in my church, and some people look odd when I say it on a given Sunday. Come to church how you are. I tell people, if you're addicted, if you are struggling, if you're an alcoholic, if you are selling your body, come on to church. I'm not asking you to quit anything. I'm asking you to come and hear the word of God. And I have so many members of my church who will now celebrate God and appreciate their pastor for saying, "Pastor, you didn't come to me talking about what I needed to quit first. You told me to hear the word of God." And I did not know you were getting ready to say that. To my audience, I did not know you were going to say that. I've been telling folks for years, the word of God can cut through any struggle you're facing with. Ooh.
Go ahead. As I was getting high, I was listening to my uncle's sermons, and I began to ask God to take me away from this. And he heard me. On March the 17th, 2007, I was in a relationship, and he hit me. And he hit me, and I went to the ground.
Literally physically attacked
he
you.
Hit me. But it wasn't the first time. It wasn't the second.
That this man had hit you.
It wasn't the third. But this time was different. And I remember I was on the ground and I looked up at him and I said, "That's the last time you're going to put your hands on me." I got up. I walked to the phone.
My God.
I picked up the phone. And mind you, I had a warrant at the time, but I didn't care because I was tired. I was tired of the way that I was living. I was tired of how I was living, and I knew that that was a life that I was not supposed to be living.
That's right. That's right.
And so I picked up the phone, and I called them, and when the police arrived, they asked me for my name, and I told them. And immediately they said, because they knew me, put your hands behind your back. And that was March the 17th, 2007. I was arrested for dealing in possession of a Class A felony.
So they arrested you for the warrant.
Yes.
They didn't do anything about the...
He was gone.
Wow. Okay. I'm watching how God is piecing your deliverance together.
He was gone. I don't even know where he was at the time. Maybe it was for that moment why I was hit at that time, and he did what he needed to do, and he was gone.
He played his role. That's right.
For that season.
That's right.
And he was gone because he was never meant to be a lifetime in my life.
That's right.
So I got arrested from March the 17th to June the 4th is when I was released.
Released. March the 17th. June the 4th.
Of the same year.
Basically about 2 months.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you said released, I wasn't just released from jail. I was released from the addiction that had me bound.
So did you do rehab?
Nope.
In
Nope.
No
I
rehab.
I did not do any program. Now, everybody handles their recovery in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not do a program.
You telling the audience, and let me just go on. I know you said in the book, so let me just get to where I'm going. I want the audience to hear see the hand of God here. You went into lockup,
mm-hmm.
addicted,
yes,
to crack cocaine,
yes.
And while in there, having heard God's word beforehand, when you were released, the fact that you were released. Let's start with that. But you release, you come out, mm-hmm. you are delivered.
Yes.
Talk about that.
I believe that there is a difference between.
How long ago was this now? Listen, audience.
This was in 2007.
So we talking
12
years.
I'm going into my 13th year of being clean.
Absolutely. Don't tell me what God, what the power of God.
The power.
The spirit. The Bible says, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Talk about that.
I believe that there's a difference between being clean and delivered.
Mm.
I might take some flack from this, but I'm going to stand on what I say. I was delivered.
Mm.
I was set free. And in the word, it says, who the Son sets free
is
free indeed.
Absolutely. Can I just echo what something
sure.
you said? Sunday morning, I preached from the 17th chapter of Luke about the 10 lepers that were crying out to be healed. And 9 of them got
only
healed.
One came
but
back.
One of them got, yes. Jesus told him, your faith has made you whole. What was different then about his faith than the other 9 that he came back to show appreciation to who had done it for him, who had brought him out? He gave his commitment and celebration and gratitude.
That's
because
true.
He knew, and knowing who has delivered you can make you whole. There's a difference between healed and whole, or clean and delivered. There's a difference. You got whole that day. That's why you ain't been back. That's what makes the difference. And he can do it.
He can.
You are sitting here as the evidence that he can do it. For every person that's listening who thinks that God cannot, that you got to have a 12-step program. Mm-hmm. And I'm not fighting anybody's sobriety. Mm-hmm. I'm not confronting Cocaine Anonymous. I'm not fighting AA. But I'm standing on the blood of Jesus, and I know what Jesus can do. And if something's not true, there shouldn't be any evidence. Here we sit with somebody who is evidence of what God can do. Let me ask you this, and we're probably gonna have to close this segment out with it. Let's get into the conversation, and we'll probably finish it next week. Let's get into the conversation about why you wrote this book.
I wrote the book for many reasons.
Okay.
As I stated previous, and it is in my book, that I came from a two-parent household.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't a broken family or any of that. I went to college. I had a foundation in church. And I believe, you know, train up a child in the way they should go, mm-hmm. and when they get old, they'll never depart. And although I strayed,
mm-hmm.
it was still in me. So I just needed a help up, if, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. So I wrote the book because I was raped. I've been in an abusive relationship. I had drug addictions. I lost my kids to my drug addiction. And various reasons to let people know that even though you go through things,
mm-hmm.
and even though you've been bound and you are bound, that you can still overcome. You can still come out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say that I didn't do this by myself.
Well, that's a good segue. What role did your husband play in this? In the development of the book, the 12 years. What role did your husband Tim play in this?
I'm gonna tell about my husband, but God did this for me.
All
I
right.
have to say that, because mm-hmm. I couldn't have did it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I had did it by myself, I would have been clean a long time ago. I was in mm-hmm. there for 16 years, and I couldn't do it. So it was God, mm-hmm. nobody but God.
Mm-hmm.
But then God sent me a man.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a man, a strong man, that has been by my side since 2010.
That's great news. I'm so glad to hear that.
And I could not have done this or be on this journey without my husband. We was in kindergarten together. We was in second and third grade together. And, of course, our roads went different in different paths. And I smoked dope, and he sold dope. We never, our paths never crossed during that time.
Is that right?
Never passed. And I believe everything's done in God's timing.
So you're saying that both of you, at one time or another, without necessarily knowing about it, were in
this
the drug industry in one spectrum.
That is true.
Brother Tim, talk to us about what it's like to be married to such a dynamic woman.
Oh, man, I thank God for giving me a strong, godly woman. My wife is my rock also because we balance one another.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently seen where Fantasia and her husband were speaking to people on, I believe it was YouTube,
Submission.
And how the balance of the two, God created man and then he brought woman as his helpmate.
Correct.
And the same way that she say that she wouldn't want to be on this journey with anyone other than me, I would have to say I totally agree. God couldn't have given me a better wife, a better helpmate, a better friend, a better confidant than my wife. I learned so much from her about the Lord and about his grace and his mercy and his love. For men, we so often get caught up in the macho and the egos and things of that nature, and we don't let God really penetrate our hearts. But our women, our wives, our mothers, they can always penetrate our hearts like no one else can. And so I believe God, I know God brought me this woman back to my life. As she said, we were classmates in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We go back that far. Even our families go back even further than we do. So it was by divine design.
Wow.
That only God could do.
Well, let me say something to you, man. That's awesome. But I want to tell you something. Man, this is my show. Don't come on my show preaching. You come on my show, man. What a powerful word. That's powerful. Listen, I'm going to have to bring you back.
Okay.
I'm about to bring you back. Can you come back next week?
Sure.
All right. Can you come back next week?
I can.
All right. I'm going to bring you guys back. I'm going to close out this show. There's so much more that we didn't get to.
Okay.
And my audience deserves to hear more of what you guys have to say.
Okay.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having
Listen, this has been Moves That Matter. I'm your host, of course, Dr. Clive Posley. And I want you to know that I'm going to bring this powerful couple back next week. And they're going to tell the rest of more of their story. Let me tell you something. I say something similar to this every week. You are constantly making moves in this world. Sometimes we're forced into moves. Other times we get the privilege to make, be in complete control of the moves that we make. Why don't you make the moves that you make moves that matter? I'm your host, Dr. Clive Posley. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next week, and thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you, and I'll see you soon.